What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at WeightWatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.
Sam. The difference between a house and a store was the difference between a coffin and a tomb. In the residential blocks of Sector 2, the threats were compartmentalized. A bedroom here, a closet there. You breached, you cleared, you moved. But Sector 3, the commercial district, was a nightmare of open spaces, plate glass, and shadows that stretched for 50 yards. Alpha Team, hold at the intersection. Sam's voice crackled over the radio, the static failing to mask the adrenaline in his tone. Bravo, you have eyes on the hardware store? Sam stood on the flat roof of a one-story insurance office, binoculars pressed to his eyes. From this vantage point, the commercial strip of the valley spread out like a model train set of the apocalypse. To his left, the residential grid they had already conquered. To his right, the chaotic sprawl of strip malls, gas stations, and the prize, the massive Valley Value Grocery Center. Bravo, Actual, came Kale's voice, calm as a monk. We have movement inside the glass. 5, maybe 6 tangos near the checkout lanes, but the back room is a question mark. It's dark in there. Roger that, Sam said. He lowered the binoculars and looked at Carson, who was leaning against a rusted HVAC unit, cleaning his fingernails with a pocket knife. 6 in the front usually means 20 in the back, Carson noted lazily. Retail workers die in the break room, Sam. It's a rule of nature. Sam ignored the commentary, though he filed the tactical advice away. Charlie team, move up the alley. Secure the rear loading dock. If anything spills out the back when Bravo breaches, put it down. Do not let them flank us. Charlie copies. Moving. This was it. The fun and games of the last week, clearing single-family homes with well-defined yards, was over. This was urban warfare. They were taking the beating heart of the town. Execute on my mark, Sam said into the mic. He felt a surge of power, a tangible electricity that started in his boots and ended in his fingertips. He wasn't just surviving anymore. He was conducting. 3, 2, 1, breach. Below him, the world exploded into controlled violence. At the front of the hardware store, Bravo team shattered the main glass doors with a sledgehammer. The sound was a crystalline crash that echoed off the brick facades of the strip mall. Immediately, the groan started. The 6 tangos near the registers turned, shambling toward the noise. Bravo team didn't rush. They formed a phalanx in the entranceway. Shields up, pikes and suppressed rifles engaged. Pop, pop, pop. Bodies hit the linoleum. Clean, efficient. But Carson was right. The noise woke the back room. From the darkened rear of the store, a gray wave surged forward. It wasn't 20, it was 50. Employees, customers, panicked looters who had died trapped in the aisles. They poured over the counters, knocking over displays of paint cans and power tools. Contact front! Heavy contact! Kale yelled, his voice losing its monk-like detachment. Falling back to the sidewalk! Sam watched as Bravo team backpedaled, firing steadily. But the sheer mass of the dead was pushing them out. A straggler, a massive figure in a torn apron, lunged for one of the rookies, grabbing the edge of his riot shield and yanking him off balance. Man down! Man down! Charlie team, breach the rear, now! Sam screamed into the radio. Draw them off! Make noise! In the alleyway behind the store, Charlie team kicked in the loading dock door. They didn't use suppressors. They opened up with shotguns and AR-15s, creating a thunderous cacophony that reverberated through the metal structure of the building. Inside the store, the horde hesitated. The noise behind them was louder, fresher. The herd mentality kicked in. Half the wave turned, splitting their focus, stumbling back toward the loading dock where Charlie team was waiting in a fatal tunnel, mowing them down as they bottlenecked in the hallway. The pressure on Bravo eased instantly. Kale stepped forward, kicked the grabbing zombie in the chest, and put a round through its eye socket. The rookie scrambled up, shaken, but alive. Push now, Sam ordered. Crush them in the middle. Bravo surged back in. Charlie pushed from the back. The zombies were caught in a hammer and anvil maneuver, trapped between two walls of disciplined fire. For 3 minutes, the air was filled with the sharp cracks of rifles and the wet thuds of bodies hitting the floor. Then, silence. Hardware store clear, Kale reported, breathless. One minor injury, twisted ankle, no bites. Sam exhaled, the breath rushing out of him in a laugh he couldn't suppress. He looked at Carson. Textbook, Carson said, nodding appreciatively. That call on the rear breach, that saved the kid's life. Nice timing, Commander. Commander. The word hung in the hot Colorado air. It wasn't a rank anyone had given him. It was a title he was earning. Form up, Sam said, keying the mic again. We're not done. We take the grocery store next. Same tactic. Squeeze them until they pop. The rest of the afternoon was a blur of high-stakes demolition. They moved block by block, turning the commercial district from a graveyard into a fortress. They cleared the pharmacy, where they found a goldmine of antibiotics and painkillers, wealth beyond measure in the new world. They cleared the liquor store, careful not to shatter the bottles, treating the stock with reverence due holy relics. They were close calls. In the auto parts store, a sleeper, a zombie that had been wedged under a hydraulic lift, grabbed Big Jim's boot. The massive carpenter didn't panic. He just stomped down with his steel-toed boot, crushing the thing's hand, before swinging his hammer in a brutal, efficient arc. "Wrong day to mess with the Union!" Big Jim roared, laughing as he wiped black gore from his hammer. The men around him cheered, the sound raucous and wild. By 5 p.m., the sun was dipping low, casting long, bloody shadows across the asphalt. They had reached the end of the strip mall. The intersection of Main and Fifth was the designated limit of Sector 3. "Bring up the trucks!" Big Jim bellowed. This time, the wall construction was faster, rougher, and more imposing. They didn't just use wood. Using a hot-wired forklift from the hardware store, Big Jim's crew dragged derelict cars into a line across the street. A sedan, a delivery van, a rusted pickup. They overturned them, interlocking their frames to create a jagged wall of steel. Then they reinforced the gaps with plywood and sandbags. It wasn't just a fence, it was a barricade, a monument to human stubbornness. Sam climbed down from his roof perch and walked to the front line. The air smelled of diesel, sweat, and victory. The men of the clear teams were sitting on tailgates, passing canteens, their faces smeared with grime, but their eyes bright. They looked like wolves who had just taken down an elk. "You see that?" Carson appeared at Sam's elbow, handing him a bottle of water. He gestured to the wall. "That's permanent. That's civilization." Sam took a long drink, the water cool against his parched throat. "It's ground," he corrected. "It's territory." "It's an empire," Carson said, his voice dropping to that confidential, smooth register he used when he wanted to plant a seed. "Look at them, Sam. Look at Kale. Look at Big Jim. They aren't looking at the mountain anymore. They're looking at you." Sam glanced around. It was true. As he walked past, men stood straighter. They nodded. Some reached out to pat him on the shoulder.
"Good call on the flank, Sam. Hell of a day, boss. We took it all back, didn't we?"
It was intoxicating. For months, Sam had been the kid, the little brother, the one Nicole protected, the one who fetched the water and dug the latrines. Now he was the one who said kill, and they killed. He said build, and they built. "We need to secure the perimeter," Sam said, trying to keep his voice level, trying not to show how much he enjoyed the praise. "Make sure the sentries are posted on the rooftops." "Already done," Carson said. "I put 2 men on the pharmacy roof and 2 on the hardware store, overlapping fields of fire. Nothing gets in or out without your permission." Sam nodded, wiping sweat from his forehead. "Good. Let's get the trucks loaded. We have a lot of supplies to haul back up the hill." "They're going to feast tonight," Carson grinned. "Real food. Canned peaches, beef jerky, maybe even some of that bourbon from the liquor store. You're bringing home the bacon, Sam. Literally." The celebration back at the base was unlike anything the mountain had seen since the fall. Usually dinner was a somber affair, hushed conversations over meager bowls of government rations eaten in the dim light of lanterns to save fuel. Tonight, the communal hall was ablaze with light. String lights, pulled from Christmas boxes in attics, were draped across the ceiling. Music, actual rock and roll, played from the base intercom system and overhead from speakers meant for official announcements. The tables appeared to groan under the weight of the hall. Canned hams, boxes of crackers, jars of salsa, bags of chips that were only slightly stale. And the alcohol, the whiskey and beer, flowed freely. Sam sat at the head of the main table, a plastic cup of bourbon in his hand. He felt a pleasant buzz, a warmth that had nothing to do with the alcohol. "To the clear teams!" Big Jim shouted, raising a beer bottle high. "To the clear teams!" the room roared back. Even the families, the ones who usually stayed in their barracks, frightened and quiet, were out. Children were running around with mouths stained red from fruit punch. Older adults were sharing a bottle of wine. The fear that usually permeated the air like a fog had lifted, burned away by the heat of Sam's victory. Sam watched it all with a benevolent smile. This is what Nicole didn't understand. You couldn't just survive. You had to live. You had to give people a win. He felt a hand on his shoulder. He turned, expecting Carson, but found Ruby standing there. Ruby was the base's matriarch, Nicole's confidant, her sounding board. She was the one who stitched up the cuts and distributed the aspirin. She was the conscience of the camp. She wasn't smiling. "Sam," she said, her voice quiet under the thumping bass of the music, "can I steal you for a minute?" Sam's smile faltered slightly, but he nodded. "Sure, Ruby. Everything okay?" "Just need some air." He followed her out of the hall, away from the laughter and the lights. The silence of the outer corridor was cool by comparison. The silence, almost a shock. Ruby turned her wheelchair and looked up at Sam. "You've done quite well of late, Sam," she said softly. "It's safer," Sam said, joining her. "We pushed the line back another mile today. We have a buffer now." "I know," Ruby said. "I stitched up the boy from Bravo Team, the ankle. He told me you saved them." "We saved each other," Sam said, reciting the line he knew he was supposed to say. Ruby moved closer to him. Her face was illuminated by the fluorescent lights from the ceiling, revealing the deep lines of worry etched around her mouth. "They're calling you Commander in there, Sam. Did you hear that?" Sam shrugged, taking a sip of bourbon. "It's just a nickname, Ruby. Adrenaline talking." "Is it?" Ruby asked. "Because it sounds a lot like worship to me, and worship is a dangerous thing." Sam bristled slightly. "What's the problem, Ruby? Look inside there. They're happy. They're eating. For the first time in months, they aren't terrified that something is going to crawl over the wall and eat their kids. We did that."
"You did," Ruby agreed. "You and the guns. But Sam, this isn't how Nicole ran things."
"Nicole isn't here," Sam said, his voice sharpening. "Nicole is out there, chasing a ghost, and while she's gone, I'm responsible for these people. Nicole's way... it was safe, yeah, but it was a slow death. We were starving by inches, hiding in the dark."
"Nicole's way kept us alive when the world fell apart," Ruby countered gently. "She built the foundation you're standing on. She valued every life. She was cautious because she knows what happens when you get arrogant."
"I'm not arrogant," Sam snapped. "I'm effective." Ruby sighed, wrapping her cardigan tighter around herself.
You're clearing sectors, you're building walls, you're opening up the food stores. You're the hero. But Sam, what happens when she comes back?
Sam looked away, staring out at the darkness. The question hung there, heavy and unavoidable.
What do you mean?
I mean she left you in charge of a lifeboat, Ruby said, and you've turned it into a battleship. When she walks through those gates, if she walks through those gates and sees what you've done, sees what you've thrown out, her rules, her rationing, her caution, what happens?
She'll see that it works, Sam said, though he didn't feel as certain as he sounded.
She'll see the food. She'll see the safety.
Will she?
Ruby pressed.
Or will she see a boy playing soldier? Will she see a leader who took a risk that could have gotten everyone killed? And more importantly, Sam, will the people want her back?
Sam froze. He hadn't let himself think that thought. He hadn't articulated it.
They love her, Sam said weakly. They respect her, Ruby corrected. But tonight, tonight they love you. You're the one giving them the candy and the wine. You're the fun parent, Sam. And Carson? Carson is making sure everyone knows who to thank.
Carson is helping, Sam defended.
Carson is a shark, Ruby said flatly, and he smells blood in the water. He's driving a wedge, Sam. Can't you feel it? He's building you up so he can tear her down.
Sam turned away from her, pacing a few steps.
I'm just doing the job, Ruby. I'm protecting the camp.
Are you protecting the camp, or are you building a kingdom? Ruby asked.
Her voice wasn't accusing, just sad.
Because when there are two kings, Sam, usually there's a war, and I don't think this family can survive a war, not against each other.
Sam drained his cup. The bourbon burned, but it didn't chase away the chill Ruby's words had settled in his stomach.
Nicole will understand, Sam said, trying to convince himself. When she sees the walls, when she sees we're winning, she'll understand.
Ruby looked at him for a long moment, her eyes searching his face for the boy she used to know, the boy who used to ask for advice before he tied his shoes. She seemed to find only the hardened young man who had ordered a coordinated crossfire in a grocery store.
I hope so, Sam, Ruby whispered. I really hope so, because the dead are out there, but the real trouble... I think it's starting right here.
She patted his arm, a gesture that felt more like a goodbye than a comfort, and went back toward the hall. Sam stayed in the corridor. He could hear the music swelling, a classic rock anthem about freedom. He could hear Big Jim laughing. He could hear the clinking of bottles. He looked down at his hand. It was steady. He had killed today. He had led today. He had won. But as he thought about the dark road winding up the mountain, the road Nicole would eventually walk down, he felt a knot of dread tighten in his chest. Carson's voice floated through his memory.
You're giving them a reason to fight, not just a hole to hide in.
She'll understand, Sam said to the empty air.
But deep down he knew Ruby was right. Nicole wouldn't understand. She would see the lights, hear the noise, and see the risk. She would try to stop him. And for the first time, Sam realized that if she tried to stop him, he didn't know if he would let her. He turned his back on the dark road and walked back into the light, back to the applause, back to the people who were calling his name.